about the weight thing, when I walked in, she's like, okay, let's weigh you. Listen, it was raining outside. You know, it's been raining in LA. It's been raining outside. I got some big Red Wing boots on, a big jacket.
Yeah.
She, I was like, it's not even, I got about 8-9 pounds of clothes. She's like, no, it's okay.
We, and they like, don't
you
care,
didn't take yeah. the shoes off her then?
Not
taking. I take the shoes off.
I definitely take the shoes off.
The shoes,
but they don't prompt you to do it.
They don't prompt you to do nothing. So I'm like, man, how much of this?
Which is like, yeah. You're probably about, say, 2 or whatever.
Yeah, and then you're, like that.
We'll give you 190 or 190.
190, yeah, whatever. Just get in the room. You're pre-diabetic.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Welcome to Keep Me Different, where we keep it different. This is a show that, what, lends a voice to the alternative version in the black community, would you say? Why are we doing this?
Alternative identities, yeah.
Yeah. Why are we doing this, guys?
Well, I'm personally doing it because I feel like there's just so much misinformation in media today. And I do come from a journalism background, and I think black people deserve to have correct information and not just like the shade room.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah. So I'm a neurodivergent writer and a former academic. My background is in journalism and African American studies. So that's me.
Wow. And I know y'all want to know her name too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. My name's Michelle. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Excuse me. My name, is Garen Strong. The reason why I'm doing it, I think I've always been a fan of like podcasting and conversations, especially when the opportunity was brought to me around just the conversations and topics that we wanted to cover that are, to your point, all different from your day-to-day conversation or going in more depth around certain topics that maybe me and my boys may talk to on or talk about on a surface level. So for me, I'm just interested to see and have dope conversations that should make folks like think, like thought-provoking type of conversation. But my background is, I'm originally from San Jose, California. I went to the University of Oregon, played football there. From there, I had a 10-11 year career at Nike, where my background is brand marketing and product marketing. And now I have like a hyphen of things. I left Nike a few years ago and working on building my own lifestyle brand, as well as self-published a book around the impact and influence that Oregon has had on sport and pop culture. And recently, these last 2 years, I am an adjunct professor, which is still wild to say.
Wow.
Where I teach sports product to MBA students back at the University of Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah. And now I'm a media head,
a media personality.
Yeah, I don't want to be called a podcaster, but
media
personality. I was now working on a media personality.
Nice. I, you know, when you said you play football, I was just thinking to myself, like, what position did he play? And then after I thought, what position did he play? I was thinking, like, I don't think he could out sprint me.
I play wide receiver.
You probably could out sprint me then. So
just, I don't know. I was more known for running routes and my hands, like catching the ball. I wasn't the fastest, but
like Jerry Rice,
I never would get back out on a track and try to race anybody right now. My body and self-preservation, I always say, is what I work on now as far as like training and just keeping things tight, fit, but not trying to do too much.
Yeah. That's my problem. I be trying to do too much and I pull a hamstring like every other day.
Wait, who are you? Did you say who you are?
I'm O'Neal Cespedes. I'm an actor and a writer, a martial artist. I'm a nerd, right? And one of the main reasons why I wanted to do this was to give people like me a voice. You know, I always felt like there's a big group of us in the black community that go underrepresented, you know. And I think that we have something to say. And anytime I'd watch shows, I just thinking to myself, like, man, I know a lot of black people who don't really ain't into that, but they ain't what I'm into. How come they're not talking about that? So it just made sense to get together with individuals like yourselves of like mind and give them a voice.
The fellow nerds.
Yeah. Or as I like to say, alternative niggas.
I feel like, I guess, I come from the athlete background of playing sports all my life.
Yeah. He's not a nerd.
He's not a nerd.
No, yeah. I don't think I am.
You can be nerd adjacent.
I think I am nerd adjacent. Like, I'm into
nerd adjacent
certain things that people would label as like Marvel comics. I'm into all of that.
You're one of us.
Yeah.
I mean, Garrett.
Very like Garrett, I'm into cars.
Can we really say that, Garen?
What?
Marvel is mainstream now, Garen.
Hey, it is what it is. You know, I'm just trying to relate, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things too is like being able to talk from experiences is always dope for me to hear from people's different experiences and their background. And I don't think anything. Well, unless we're talking about statistics and all that, as a matter of fact, it's like opinion, a perspective, a thought, that it's always just interesting to hear each other's way of thinking and how you landed or got to the point that you have an opinion on or a perspective on.
All right, so speaking of that, I mean, for me, like I said earlier, I like watching shows that speak to me. There's not many of them, so I go searching for weird things, right? But for yourselves, like, what do you like to hear? What topics are you drawn to?
I'm always drawn to topics that impact intersectionality in some way, like gender, sexuality, race, subcultures. I love subcultures. I love niche cultures. I am one to watch a documentary about some obscure cult that was in the 70s. Like, I love that stuff. I love psychology as well and mental health.
Yeah.
I think those are the topics that I gravitate towards most. And also sometimes I feel that they're not always discussed in the Black community, or like some of the, like, especially mental health, I think is one of those topics that is kind of like brushed under the rug in the Black community. So when I look on the internet for content and things that I want to consume, I'm always looking for these topics that I feel like don't get enough discussion in our own community.
Yeah.
For me, it's like just like the inner workings of things of, but I love cultural things. So from traveling to sports, to entertainment, to tech, like all of those things I'm interested in and just learning more about. And you know, I think within those are the subcultures that, you know, are highlighted, I think, with some, I would say, elements of culture, but then going deeper into that and like understanding what really makes that culture or subculture tick. So anything cultural, I'm all about to just learning and understanding or trying to figure out.
You know, it's interesting. When I delve into watching other shows, sometimes I just want to watch mindless things. And obviously, I'm not going to say any names because I don't say anybody's show is mindless. But when I see topics dealing with, you know, the battle of the sexes and relationships and things of that nature, there's a part of me that feels like it's so cliche because we talk about it a lot. But I also understand we got to talk about it.
Right.
I understand we got to talk about it because even though it's 2024, we seem to not understand each other still, or we seem to have issues with one another, right? Men and women. And I think there's a divide, even especially with Black men and Black women. The divide seems like it's bigger than it's ever been. I could be wrong, it's just from my interpretation, right? So when I watch shows, it's more of a heavy debate between men, especially if it's a show with you know, a split down the middle with a cast of women and a cast of men. They seem to be battling, right?
Yeah.
To see whose point is more correct, rather than just trying to really understand each other and speaking from one. So being the only woman on you know, set right now, right? Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? Especially when dealing with men.
I do see that. I think there is a widening gap between men and women right now, for a multitude of reasons. But I think that especially there's a lot of there's just a lot of content on the internet as well for like the rise of the manosphere and like the male podcast. Wait,
the manosphere?
Yeah, the manosphere, say, yeah.
During our conversations, I will be the person to ask questions of definitions and meaning. So what is the manosphere?
So the manosphere is kind of this new niche. It's not so niche now because it's really getting saturated, but just men airing their grievances on podcasts and forums and Reddit, And then with that, we've gotten the rise of like an Andrew Tate, who's like this, you know, everyone who, I feel like everyone's going to know who this person is, but he's quite misogynistic. He's kind of like this guiding voice for men that like are looking for masculine role models of some sort. And then we had the black one too. What was his name?
Oh, Kevin, the guy that died?
Yeah, the one that died, Kevin Samuels.
Kevin Samuels.
Yeah, Kevin, so that would be the black version. So these are all people, all personalities in the manosphere.
Got it.
Where men feel like their problems, issues, identities are being erased in common culture, and they need a place to feel like support system and such. But
I love the way she's saying that. She's like, feelings hurt and shit, you know.
But isn't that, I think that's the conversation too, or the debate of masculinity. And I know, I think we're gonna hit that topic, but like when I take a step back and I look at just things and how things are moving and the conversations and these talking heads and all that, is like, on the one side, I feel like if you're too masculine, you get knocked for the, I guess, the traditional ways of how we looked at masculinity.
Yeah.
And then if you're not masculine enough, it's like you're soft, or you're not, you don't need to be this, or you don't need to be that. You should be this, you should be that. Is that, it's kind of like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And there's no balance. Like, I think people look at each other at like surface level, but not the complexities of a person. Like, my experiences and what have made me get to the point that I'm at, and maybe grieving online, which I think a lot of it's also entertainment, which people have this thing of, which I've heard of, like, content over everything. And we're, for me, what that means is like you lose integrity, you lose your morals, you lose your values and principles just for clicks and likes.
Yeah, because your show is boring if you're not talking about some controversial shit.
Right.
Just, and just for the record, I agree with Garen, but not because we're men, because I'm an objective thinker. I just agree with him.
Wait, you agree with him on which point?
About the, if you're not masculine enough or you're too masculine, it's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Oh, I agree with that too, actually.
I think
especially in the black community, I feel like with the rise of, like, you know, I do think the gender binary, meaning like traditional ideas of what is a man, what is a woman, is being very much deconstructed in real time. And I think as a
question,
yeah.
Do you think it's being deconstructed or evolved?
I think it's being evolved, but I also think gender is a social construct that has no, like, it is a social construct in my eyes. Like, I know people have different opinions about that, but like, gender is a performance. What we think a man should do, what we think a woman should do, there's no biological basis in this, right? So I do think it's being evolved, but I think there was always subcultures of people challenging these things, but I think it's getting more mainstream, and that is an evolution. I do think so.
So what, I guess my question is, what do you do as a man in the meantime? Because since gender is evolving, right, at this rate, and you're a man that lives currently in this world, and currently as it's constructed, while evolving, but currently as it's constructed, you still have to, quote unquote, live by the rules of what a man is. Because I've heard women make reference to men being too, you know, aggressive, too this, too that, too this. And then I've heard those same women turn around and be like, girl, I'm embellishing. I'm not saying, girl, he opened a door for me. He's too soft, or he just wanted to do all this stuff for me. You know, I really don't like that. Be a little more, you know, not assholish, but be a little more defiant. Women love, traditionally from the past, there's leftover residuals from women liking men to pull up, I'm being really cliche right now, pull up on a motorcycle with a 5 o'clock shadow with a leather jacket and be like, hey, get your ass on there. Don't say nothing. You know, right? I'm, you know.
Do you own a motorcycle?
No, I used to until I fell off.
All right.
But I digress.
Leather jacket?
I got a couple leather jackets. But so, again, to, you know, build on Garen's point. It's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because then, and then if you come in that soft way, where it's like, hey, how's it going, Susie? I brought these flowers for you. I took the liberty of booking, you know, such and such. She's like, man, get your corny ass out of here. What pocket? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So where does that?
I kind of lean like on the side of like being authentic and true to yourself, and then in the sense asking for forgiveness after that of like being able to have a conversation and communicate. If you feel like I disrespected you, if you feel like maybe something I said or I did wasn't right, or how you kind of interpreted it was to your liking, is like, I think one of the things that, to your point of like the distance that continues to happen between male and female, is like the lack of actual real communication and conversation. Like, because now we can just jump on our phone,
yeah,
look at, swipe, like, not have a real conversation. I can go, or folks can go days without actually seeing real people if they wanted to. True. You know what I mean? And so if you're not like mindful and really trying to get out and see what the world is and how it really is and how it's shifting, I think that will influence just everything, you know? And so getting back to being masculine is like, I think that also comes from you being authentic and like a natural sense of yourself. Like if you are heavy on the masculine side, like I wouldn't say lean into that and be disrespectful and be what is known for the past of being masculine, but like be proud to be a man, be proud to do things that you know you want to do, and don't put a label on that. I think let others kind of do that.
That's interesting, because you know, even, and I'd like to consider myself a pretty progressive thinker, but even that very statement, when you just said it, be proud to be a man, it there's so much behind it now because of the world we live in.
Right.
When you said that, I'm like, oh, maybe we should edit that out. There's so much behind it now, and you meant no malice with it, right?
Not
you
at
meant
all.
No malice. And it makes me think about the deeper, more layered issues, right? Why we're the way we are, because we, and I don't want to sound like I'm throwing a male pity party here, but we deal with so much, right? We have to carry so much. The minute, especially if you're a black man, the minute you wake up in the morning, you put on your armor, you go into war. And you go into war with everybody. When I say everybody, I mean even your own brothers and even your own sisters, right? That's a lot. We've been taught traditionally as men to, you know, carry all of that and don't share it. You don't want to come home to your girlfriend or your wife, you know, your significant other, and be like, hey, I can't carry, I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. Love me, pour me a cup of orange juice. You know, there's just so much. You're like, I'm good. Psh, what are we doing? Let's watch TV. Let's go out. Psh, I'm good. I'm about to go lift. But you're dying inside. Can we, and I want you to speak to that, can we speak to all the layers of, like, you know, even financially, we have to carry, we're told we're supposed to carry things financially. And when you go out with a woman, or you see a woman with a man that has money, you feel that pressure, right?
Yeah.
Can we speak to that? Like, especially what's wrong with men? What would you say?
Especially in LA.
Especially in LA, right? The big cities. What's going on with men currently today?
Well, this is a topic that is being discussed nationwide, even in, you know, white mainstream media. There was an article written about this in the New Yorker recently. And we are seeing, like, boys are kind of lagging behind academically. College attendance is now like 2-1 women. And in the 80s, it was 1-1. So we're seeing a drop in men just going to college, period. And then for like the top 10% of high school freshmen, 2 times are more likely to be female. So women are excelling academically, surpassing men in academic settings. And at the same time, we're also seeing like a reduction of like manual labor jobs, like everything's getting automated, everything needs a college degree. So I think men are just at this like frustration point where they feel like, what is their role in modern day society if women are able to get gainful employment and be self-sufficient? They're like, where does that fall? Where I'm no longer the provider, what role can I now take? And I think this is an issue, and I've talked about this with my dad too, where he's like, yeah, like a lot of men, like, you know, if they can't provide anymore, then you have to be emotional and provide some kind of like intimacy know how to do. So like, sure, you're taking away this one thing that they could hide behind, where I'm the provider, I'm the financial person here, And if that's not necessary anymore, then they have to lean into like a level of softness.
Yeah.
But I do think, to be fair, women on the other side, at least for Black women, I think as much as like we do want men to communicate in more, we do have to create a safe space for that, where I feel like there are women that are like, oh, these men are too soft. And all of those things are actually just pushing men back into or away from intimacy and feeling safe to communicate their issues. And I always wonder too, like, where, like, first of all, I don't know what y'all talk about. Like, I feel like, do you guys like open up to your friends about stuff you're dealing with? Like,
no.
Okay, yeah. Like, no. So where are you doing that? Yeah.
Nowhere. In your head, in a corner.
Yeah.
Under the sheets.
I think.
Under the sheets.
I've learned to have real conversation with some of my close friends, but like close friends meaning like one or two people.
Yeah.
As well as I have some friends that are women that I put my trust in to actually have those conversations. I don't know how far and deep I go with that. But for me, I have found a way to have those conversations. Yeah, periodically, like depending on where I'm at mentally and all that. But one of the things I wanted to talk about when just like the workforce and all that is like, there's also new opportunities for these high school kids going into college that I think us being a little bit older didn't have those avenues. So if you think about, and this is going to sound super like childish and being a young boy playing video games, for instance,
oh, yeah,
kids
can
get
money.
Paid money. For, yeah, so yeah. Like me having to go into the workforce, no, I can sit in front of my TV
and stream
and
something.
Stream and play and this yeah. and that. And so now it's like, do I really need the education or the higher education of that if I have a purpose, and that could be in video games, if I could have a purpose in content creation, whatever it may be. As well as I feel like the new age of just like entrepreneurship and people trialing and testing things early on in their life of like going from high school to college is like, that is kind of a good time to like figure out what it is that you really want to do for that next step. You know, now is that right? Is that wrong? I don't know. And is there education behind that? I don't know. But things have, I think, just shifted and changed of men looking at, I have to jump into the workforce and do what is known for a man to do.
Right.
And then going into just different avenues of like, I'm still getting paid. I'm still possibly taking care of what I need to, taking care of my responsibilities or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That play a role in some of these, I would say, statistics, right?
You yeah, think? Well, to lean on that then, to Michelle, could you be referring to when you talk about the men who don't know what their roles are anymore, not in the workforce as much, don't want to lean into the emotional side since they're confused as to not being the breadwinners and providers. Could you be referring to old school traditionalists, people that don't want to evolve, compared to what you just referred to as the young boys coming up and they're looking like, man, what? I can stream and get this money. The older guys in their 30s and up are like, man, stream, I'm 37 years old. I don't know where to begin streaming. They're not going to get on YouTube and look up, what does a streamer do? What equipment do I need? Simple things that you can do.
But that's also another thing is you can call that like the University of YouTube is a real thing.
Yeah.
Is that searching and finding how to, you know, hang up a frame to how to change out a full car.
Yes.
Or how to... whatever it may be, is now at your fingertips of just typing that into YouTube or Google to where the path to just higher education of like a brick and mortar may not be as relevant today as it used to be.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Because like interesting.
I think we all play in like growing up before technology really like boomed to now us being a part of it and still being young enough to understand it and get what's going on is like, to your point of like these guys that are like mid-30s or older is like having them trying to figure out what they actually want to do. It's like, well, now I can kind of go this alternate route, even though I'm older.
Yeah.
Am I really older? Because I think age is kind of more of a mindset than it is a definite. But yeah, it's, I don't know.
So there's a scholar, his name's Richard Reeves. He writes about this a lot. He's studying like The Trouble with Boys is his book. So he has seen that like, just on average, young boys tend to have like less emotional resilience like when it comes to adversity. So like if you have like a rough start, or like maybe you lost your job, or some kind of like obstacle hits you midlife, like we're seeing men that like don't return to the workforce in their prime years, the prime earning years. And that's an issue, right? Because like women, I do think one of the benefits of like feminism and just like women's rights movements is that we have gained a certain level of resilience because we've been discriminated against so much. And I think that boys are kind of just not used to that, like, you know, things not going their way. And the world is changing rapidly. The job market's changing rapidly. So he argues that there are like a lot more opportunities for men in a way, but they're not really taking them.
Got it.
You know, there's like, there's some kind of emotional, like, I would say, like, underdevelopment where, like, okay, something happened to me. I couldn't finish college, or, like, I was laid off. And then it just, like, just paralyzes them. Yeah. And I don't know what that is for men. Like, when things go wrong, or, like, whatever the path that they thought they were going to take, it feels like there is, I have been seeing it just in my age group, the 30 something, like some men are just not able to pivot to another option. Like they keep trying, like it's like I have friends that will like stay at the same job, like male friends too, stay at the same job for like 7-8 years you don't like just because it's familiar and you know it. And it's like, what is stopping men from trying these new avenues that they could be trying?
Yeah. That's a great question.
Do you, from my experience, and I'll just give you my perspective of, and ask questions of, like, do you think a two-parent household plays a part, as well as then getting back to being masculine of, like, with these fathers that are growing up now, of the deconstruction of masculinity, and what does that mean of me now raising a young boy? And if I didn't have the emotional resilience before, how do I hand that down to my son?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then on the other side is like, if you're a mother trying to raise a boy, how are you equipping him with the tools that he needs to be resilient? You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I think there is an influence in like a male figure. Yeah. With other male figures, just, I mean, like it's a, yeah.
No, go ahead, finish.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, it makes me question the obviously the traditional roles, right? Because obviously, you know, the lines are being blurred now, but there's some things that are definite, right? And so, like you're saying, a man raising a boy, there's certain things he can impart on a boy that the mother will never be able to impart, and vice versa. It is just what it is, you know. There's a show that I was watching on Amazon called Lioness.
Oh, yeah. That's
and really interesting show. And, you know, I love
show.
It's
a good show.
It's a good show.
I'm very into like espionage and military. In my former life, I think I was like a special.
The Navy man. SEAL, a special.
No, yeah, for sure. Like a James Bond.
Yeah.
But
that's pretty sick.
Yeah. you have that regal aura about yourself, brother.
I appreciate it.
In my former life, I think I was a dancer. No,
I can see that. I can see that.
But it's the roles reversed, right? The dad is at home taking care of the kids. He's a doctor. He's successful, you know. But he's always with the girls. The mom is what you were in a former life. She a badass. She's shooting people. She's doing all this. She's gangster. It's a breath of fresh air for me to watch. Now listen to me closely when I'm gonna say this. It's a breath of fresh air for me personally. Like, because I love shows with female leads, because I'm tired of seeing men bust shit up. I'm just tired of it, right? So I love that. But even me, who loves watching shows with female leads, I was looking at her husband like, man, he a bitch. And then as I'm watching it,
Why do you feel that way?
I'm about to tell you. Yeah. As I'm watching it, I'm thinking like, he a bitch. And I'm like, man, damn. Okay, so he taking care of the girls. His wife out capping people. He should at least learn how to fight or shoot a gun or just be a quiet badass or something. But, you know, he's like, hey, honey, how's it going? And as I was feeling that and I was watching it, I'm like, fuck. The programming of all these years is still in me. As open-minded as I am, as liberal as I am, the programming is fucking still in me. Then it led me to another thought. Maybe it'll never leave. Maybe just genetically, it's encoded in us. There's certain things men are, there's certain ways men are, and there's certain way women are. Now, obviously, the Andrew Tates of the world, individuals like that, they deliver it in such a harsh, aggressive way that they alienate people, but they also, they're polarizing, but they also have a big following. But it's kind of like, and tell me if this is a bad analogy, you can be a very powerful woman and big and strong, but you're not going to get into the boxing ring with a big, strong man and expect to hold your own with him, because masculine, male-wise, there's certain things he can do that you can't do, right? Intellectually, no. Physically, yes. Mm-hmm. And we're physical creatures, right? We're at the end of the day, when we can't do anything else, we can be physical and carnal. And that's something that's been in us since the dawn of time. Right? So
I agree with that. I do think that the physical, just the brawn of men, that is something that, like, genetically, you know, that's, we have male sports, we have female sports. Men are going to be stronger in that sense, like, just like physical brawn, pound for pound. I don't know, right? Because, like, there's some jacked women out here. I don't want to shade
any of the jacked women. Trust me, I've experienced it.
Yes,
my person can squat way more than me, and it's humbling every time.
Yeah, so women are not, you know, yeah, we're not scrubs out here.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is, though, like, that brawn is kind of not as useful as, like, knowing how to, like, run a spreadsheet and, like, other intellect. Like, we're it, like, the way that our capitalist society is now, like, we've really put a high demand on, like, intellectual jobs, right? Yeah. So, like, if you are a brawn person, I don't really know, like, how that's going to be applicable to, like, modern life right now.
Yeah.
Like, except for maybe in rural areas, but a lot of those jobs are, like, kind of going away, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Like, you're kind of fucked, I think. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, also, it's like, going away is just being one thing. It's like you have to be able to do multiple things, and think different, because, you know, once you are associated just with this one thing, you're put into that one box, and then you become very useless if it's not for that thing, unless, you know, you're a master at being that, and people have to come to you for that. But, like, if you're just a man that is active and lifts and trains and all that, but you're not doing it as far as, like, a profession or things, like, now you have to figure out the other intangible skills that you need to, like, be successful, to your point, nowadays, because, you know, one, women aren't just looking at a man, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or not, but just being a provider or just being strong. It's like, okay, what else are you bringing to the table?
Yeah.
Can we have deep conversations? Can we connect on a different level? Do you like to travel? Do you like to go to art shows? Whatever it may be, is like, those are all things that are very much more modern than where the dawn of time and where we come from as men of just being very brute force to, like, now really being more refined. And I don't think there's a problem with that. I think refining and fine-tuning, and again, you'll probably hear me talk about evolution because I love just that word, of, like, evolving and, like, progressing is what is needed in our society to spark conversations like this, being able to, like, break down barriers and communicate. Is like, we all have to evolve because no one's perfect, and we're all trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you just said, Garen, speaks to, you know, coming back full circle to what Michelle's saying, men not knowing where they fit in now. Because it's like, if you are a physical creature, and you've been physical all your life and you played sports and you've been active and aggressive, but you can't find your place financially in the world, and now you have a partner, right. And the partner's like, okay, well, I got it. I got things financially, but just give me the emotional support. You're like, malfunction.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then, like, people, you know, you just said, like, you saw that show where the man's staying home, and you're like, oh, he seems like a little bit of a bitch. Yeah. But, like, childcare is expensive, right? Yeah. And, like, we don't live in a society where childcare is subsidized. So, like, that skill set is actually highly valuable. Like, just like how women used to stay home and take care of kids, yes, too, right? Like, now, like, if you are in a household where the woman is making a lot more than the man, like, it, depending on how your numbers land up, but it could be very valuable for the father to stay home because they could be saving tons of money in childcare.
Yeah.
So, like, especially if, like, your job is not, or the job that the man wanted to do is, like, not super lucrative, you might be losing money by them working, and then, like, not, and then you still have to get childcare anyway, right? So it's, yeah. And this is something that used to happen for women, right? Where it's like, men were like the breadwinners, and then, you know, maybe your husband is like, oh, you could work, but, like, honestly, it's more valuable if you just took care of the kids because we still need a babysitter if you work anyway, yeah, right? So, like, now it's just flipping because women are, because we're excelling more academically, we're more, like, prepared for the intellectual jobs that pay higher. But so we are seeing that
so imbalance. Then with that, how does the emotional, I guess, intelligence also shift with that dynamic? So, for instance, with men having to be at home and now possibly be the
caretaker
of, you know, their kids, that's a new muscle.
That's
right?
A new muscle. It is.
Definitely a new muscle.
So then you flip that to the other side of women now being, and they have been, but I'm saying now being more on the forefront of, like, these high positions, killing it at work, being the lead and the breadwinner. It's like, how does the woman now act with the man? Does she become more aggressive?
Ooh, you read my mind. Ooh, that's exactly okay. What I was thinking. Thank you. Please continue.
And now is that, yeah, looked at as a thing? For men and for women, of, like, women being able to call out men of being too soft,
yeah,
but then men being able to call out women like, yo, she was way too aggressive for,
yeah,
my liking or whatever it may be. Is like,
I'm here for that push pull though.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Are you? Because there could be an and I want you to really go into detail. So that's why I'm gonna say this really fast. There could be an innate fear there, because if the roles are reversed now and you're making all the money and I'm taking care of the kids, I'm feeling a little less than, and I'm feeling a little nervous, and I'm afraid that you're going to call me out on, well, motherfucker, you did you clean, did you wash dishes? Because it's like, damn, she ain't supposed to say it to me. I'm supposed to say it to her. Even though you're not a chauvinist,
yeah,
but what you've seen on television, what you've seen with your parents or uncles and whatever, please.
Well, I think also that's how insecurities start to,
yes,
really.
100%.
Yes, 100%. Yes, I think this is how insecurities do arise. I think this is a thing. I think this is definitely a thing. I think it comes out of also women feeling frustrated that they've had to, like, you know, we have so many single moms in Black families, right? Like, that we're basically the dad too, right? They're the mom and the dad, right? Yeah. So we're coming from generations of that. And then young women have also seen their moms become, like, both the mom and the dad, right? Like, they're, mm-hmm, taking the role of two people up as a one person. Right. So I think we're getting, like, built up frustration of that. And I think, like, especially if you're around, like, more traditional-minded people, sometimes people get poisoned in that sense by, like, oh, well, my friends see this guy that I'm dating, like, he's staying home and, like, taking care of the kids. Like, I think we all need to just, like, erase these gender norms to begin with, kind of. Yeah. It needs to, yeah, be just, like, let's divide and conquer. Like, what are your strengths and weaknesses as a parent or a provider? And what are mine? And, like, let's lean into what we're good at. And, like, not, like, necessarily what our gender roles are. Yeah. I think that could help a bit, too.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's where the most kind of, the more successful couples in my life or that I've experienced play that. And, like, and you still know who's the man, you still know who's the woman, like, all of that. But it's like, you know, there's some things that, you know, the woman is better at in doing than you as a male that maybe you should be technically or traditionally.
Yeah.
But he finds ways to then, you know, counter that with other things that he brings to the relationship or to whatever it may be. So for me, like, the push and pull is always good. Like, you need some type of friction, some type of some type of just friction to continue to progress.
My last thing was just so the same scholar, Richard Reeves, like, I believe he said this quote, if you haven't, he's still in this vein though. He suggests, like, a pro-social masculinity for a post-feminist world, right? So what would that look like? It would look like, more men being teachers, nurses, like, jobs that were traditionally female. Yeah. I think for especially young Black boys, there is this Instagram influencer or whatever that's, like, a Black teacher for, like, elementary school kids, and it's, like, we need that. Like, yeah, imagine sure. You have, like, my dad is actually a substitute teacher right now. And I think it is very inspiring for, like, young Black boys to see a Black male teacher.
For sure.
Like, there's just no, men never want to be teachers. Yeah. I feel like it's very traditional female job, but, like, that could provide, like, a mentorship for, like, young men, and something to look up to, like, especially if they don't have a man in their household.
So with that being said, I mean, and this is the last statement, question, what have you. I think that challenges the fact that these are hundreds of years of teachings that have been ingrained in us, right?
Yeah.
So now we're asking men to get with the program really, really, really quick. We're trying to keep up with technology and how things are moving really fast. Humans haven't evolved that much. Everything else around us has. So, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate. So to ask me to take on this new role, this new gender role, and by the way, when men hear that the gender norms are being erased or blurred, let me tell you, the layman, they're thinking like, well, I ain't no bitch, I ain't no woman, I ain't no, they're trying to turn men into women, motherfuckers wearing skirts and shit, you know, moisturizing that. I've just heard Charleston White was talking about how guys moisturizing their legs, and you know, that's some feminine shit.
Why is that?
I know.
Ever walked around with ashy legs?
Yeah, you're gonna
never.
I don't understand. Never. How that's even a thing.
Keep a bottle of coconut oil on me.
Got to.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I heard that. But that was you know, that's
wild.
It's wild, yeah. But it's a big group of people sure. that are like that. So to wrap the show up, what can men do now? Right, and I'd like either one of you to chime in. You know, what can men do now to slowly start to embrace those roles that they've been traditionally taught to not embrace, right? Mm. To run away from, to steer away from? Because I can speak for myself personally, when I'm told that, I'm like, this is gonna take a lot of doing. It's gonna take a lot of doing. I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna feel a funny type of way about doing it. I got the kids. You go out there, you know?
I think there's something about grace, and then, one, giving yourself grace, as well as, like, your partner giving you grace, or just friends giving you grace, like, even having conversation male to male is, like, I don't know if there's much grace given to people as they change, as we try to figure things out, is, like, now or never, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing around embracing is, like, I would, like, attack these new roles just like you would attack anything else in life. Like, it's a mentality, it's a mindset. Like, again, if you're allowing somebody to put you in the box and you're feeling that way, it's like that's still on you to change that perception or to change how people view you.
Yeah.
And, like, I think us as Black people, like, we make everything look cool.
Fucking facts,
so
man.
You being a dope dad should not ever look bad.
Fucking facts. You know what? And I thank you for saying that, because I want this to be an overlying theme of the show as well. Black people make shit cool. We can make sweeping up dirt look cool. It's just that we haven't paid attention to sweeping up dirt. You know what I'm saying? That's our magical gift. You know, Michelle, can you speak to?
Yeah, I agree, and I think women also need to play a role too, where, like, we do need to extend some grace to men, like, especially if you know the statistics, like, especially for Black men and Black women, like, Black men are just not, you know, making, like, if they're attending college less, if they're, like, incarcerated higher, they're falling behind, right? Like, you can't hold them to the same standards, to be honest, of yourself as a Black woman. Like, you guys have a master's degree. I don't expect men that I date to have a master's degree. Like, that would be crazy if I want to date black men. Like, that's most crazy. Of them don't, right? That's crazy. So, like, I think we're like 3/5 of the holders of master's degrees or something like that, but
I don't want to, because I know that was the last.
No, 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 go ahead.
But I do have a question, like, would you, though, if the statistics were different and you actually understanding what's out there, would you, though, want to date somebody with a, like, does that even matter?
It would be lit, but, like, it would be lit too, just because I'm an intellectual and, like, I do like to be intellectually stimulated.
But what if, I feel like there's people out there that don't have master degrees that can still stimulate you intellectually.
I think there are, yes.
Yeah, it sounds like you have to actually.
I think there are. I've had to find them because there's not, like, you're not going to find black men with a master's degree in high volume. Yeah. No. Yeah. So I've had to find them. I think the challenging part, though, is just like, and I have a friend that has a master's too, and they feel this way. Like, the thing with, like, there's no, it's not, it doesn't make you better or whatever, but having an advanced degree does let you know that this person has some sort of discipline that they, like, committed to, right?
Yeah.
So if anything, you just know that, okay, like, they're about something, right?
Right.
So, like, if it's not going to be that, then the discipline has to come somewhere else. Could be art, could be whatever, like, something you actually care about and, like, are committed to. That would be enough, right? But to go back to, what was I saying? I think, like, just about, I think we do need to extend grace a bit, because, like, you know that this is an uphill climb. And I don't know, I think there is, like, this whole, like, oh, men should pay for things still, like, all that. Like, I don't know where people live or, like, they've seen the wages are out. Like, if you can't pay for it, I don't know if they can pay for it. In total,
you
know, like,
that's a great point. That's a great point. I mean, they're all great points.
Somebody else should think about that.
Yeah, shaking it off is a whole other story. The master's degree thing, and I'll wrap with this. The master's degree thing, I can't speak for, you know, anybody else, but I purposely avoided a master's degree because I had the wherewithal, the foresight to question. First of all, I'm black. Why would I get a master's degree? Because that would indicate I'm getting the master's degree.
And that's,
right? You see where I went with that? So that's like a whole other psychological, intellectual level. That's some like Wu-Tang, black man, God type shit. So I was like, I ain't really doing this. And so they was like, you want this master's degree? I was like, nah, you keep that shit. I want to shout out to Xavier Kelly. Every month we're going to have a new black artist here on the wall, so we want to showcase his work. Amazing piece. Thank you for tuning in. This has been Keep It Different, where we keep it different. Thank you for tuning in. This has been Keep Me Different, where we keep it different. We would like you to like. We would like you to subscribe. Tune in. You know, we got some shit popping. You're going to want to hear some of the stuff we got to say. You know what I'm saying? Just put it in while you're taking a shit on the toilet. While you know what I'm saying, cooking some dinner, you know what I'm saying, repotting your plants, whatever.